And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's wild and wonderful what's going to happen. We have no idea. Let's sit back and enjoy the ride. Can I get a Wowzer Bowser Wednesday? Because God is in charge of this crazy bus called The Christian Journey. Well, first, praise the Lord, because it's Easter time again. Wait, not really. Last Sunday was Easter. Ha! But for those who deem Easter unworthy of celebration, they fail to grasp the significance of Jesus Christ's resurrection. In truth, and I've been teaching this since the day I became a Christian, Easter should be celebrated daily by Christians. It affirms the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Without this, let's just make it clear. Let's not get weird. We have nothing. And we are indeed most miserable. Now, it's essential to understand that this is the first time I've ever done a post-Easter message for Easter after Easter. Just know that. It's also important to understand this. To the pure, all things are pure, but to them who are not pure but are defiled, nothing is pure. It's straightforward. If you use this time to collectively and congregationally celebrate Jesus Christ's resurrection like we did last week, it is not displeasing to God. That's ridiculous. Any legalism suggesting otherwise needs to be discarded, as it stems from religiousness and not true Christianity. Ooh, Dave, that's mean. You ain't heard nothing yet. Finally, Peter's sermon that we're going to talk about and this resurrection review focuses on five main points derived from Jesus Christ's resurrection. That's pretty cool. First is the joy of heart. The second is the assurance our bodies will live in hope. The third is the promise we will not be abandoned. The fourth is understanding the path of life is through Jesus. And the fifth is the recognition of the profound truth that the fullness of joy is in his presence. These 5 points provide us with the strength to endure when those all around us, like the worldly, the demonic, the divisive, and the evil, are all losing their minds while we're watching. Because of Jesus, we don't have to lose our minds. Good. We thank you, Lord God, for the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events, personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Oh my. Remember, it's not professional radio. How do you know that? Because of that last line I just did. See, that's not professional radio. You see? All right. Here's what it is. It's just radio. So we're asking you, what do you think? So you can email us during the show, david@hemusincrease.org. Most of the emails are nice. Let me just say that. Some, not so nice. That's all right. david@hemusincrease.org. You can text us live during the show, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us. That's right. Call us, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Now, when you make that call to 972-445-0770, you're going to end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Let me tell you what talking to Jammin' Jacob is like. It's like waking up and feeling like you just got the best night's sleep you've had in ages. Yay!
I'm about to cry right now.
That's right. That's one of the hardest things to get. Like, how'd you sleep? Magnificent. That's what I want to see. That's just like, oh, it's like a great moment.
Yeah. When you wake up and you feel like you got a good night's sleep, you're just thinking, today's going to be a good day.
Yep. You just everything kind of changes that whole process. So that's why some people say you should be praying before you go to bed, so you might have a nicer. See, my problem is if I had the wrong kind of food, that's usually what emerges in my dreams.
Yep.
That's all I'm going to say. All right, so here's the bottom line. Why did I tell you what to reach us by email? Why did I say, hey, here's the text? Why did I say, here's the phone number? It's simple. If you've got a praise report, it's time to bring it forward. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so and stop going, I'm afraid. That's enough. The show's pretty safe. I mean, not too many people get blasted on this show. I haven't blasted anybody on the show in like 2 years, 3 years, live anyway. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is share. Why? Because people get blessed by it. It helps you when you state it another time. It reinforces it in your own life. It's like you're reliving it and strengthening yourself through it. It blesses other people because they're aware God is active and moving, and it honors God, which I'm pretty sure as Christians is our goal. To bring glory to the Lord. And so in that framework, share it. If you've got a prayer request, pray. We get answers every time. Nope. Sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes it's no. Sometimes it's hold. But you'd be amazed. We get a lot more answers than people think because it's not us getting them. It's just God giving it. And then we're taking our faith and combining it, bringing it before him, yielding to him, having a small amount of expectation, at least a mustard seed amount. And watching the Lord do miraculous things. And that's so cool. And those prayer requests turn into praise reports. that's the genius of it all, right? Now maybe you've got something that you want to share. Maybe you're going to have something that you like when you hear history. It's potential that you'll laugh at one of the jokes, although I wouldn't bet on it. And, you know, that's just not something I would lay the odds on. I will say we're going to do Bible trivia in about 1, 2, 3, 5 seconds, but I do want you to know just real quickly, next week we're giving away Pastor Robert Morris, his new book, Grace, period. We're going to be giving away copies of his new book. I'll make that all explainable, understandable next week. Just kind of be looking for it. That's what has to do with our, you know, trivia prizes, which are there sometimes and not there sometimes. That's kind of the whole joke. And now we're going to actually do just trivia and see how you do on that. Let's see how we go with this. I'm going to give you the question. I'm going to give you the reference point, and I'm going to give you a hint. A hint? Yes. Okay. What is the name of the centurion that took Paul from Caesarea to Rome? Your answer is in Acts 27:1. Is it Charles, Julius, or Caesar? And I will make reference that it is my favorite salad. There you go. Okay. What is the name of the centurion who took Paul from Caesarea to Rome? Acts 27:1. Was that centurion named Charles, Julius, or Caesar? And my hint is it is my favorite salad.
Well, you're just giving it away. You love Charles salad.
Who doesn't like Charles salad? If you think you know the answer, that was hilarious. Wait, let me give you a golf clap for that. That was very funny. You can call 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So that's pretty classic right there. What is the name of the centurion who took Paul from Caesarea to Rome? Is it Charles, Julius, or Caesar? And the answer is my favorite salad. We'll leave that there. Acts 27:1. We do have somebody on the phone. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is your little brother.
Hello, little brother. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Just having a little toothache, so, but I'm okay.
Okay. All right. Now we're gonna do this, and I know you're gonna get this because if you don't, I'm gonna have to, you know, cry, and I don't feel like crying right now. All right, you ready? I'm gonna set it up for you.
Yes.
You ready? All right. What's the name of the centurion who took Paul from Caesarea to Rome? Is it Charles? Is it Julius? Or is it Caesar? And it's one of my favorite, if not my very favorite, salad. Who is it?
Well, Charles was an English king, so let's eliminate that. And Julius.
Ah, Julius
salad?
Was orange. See, Julius was orange. You see?
Oh, okay.
Said orange Julius.
Yeah.
Therefore.
Yeah, so the answer is Julius.
No!
Oh, no, Caesar.
Caesar! Caesar made the salad! All right, now for everybody that gets mad at this kind of thing, I don't care. So don't send me an email about it. But back in the 70s and 80s, they had a magazine, and it was a goofy, like, you know, Cracked magazine and Mad magazine and so on and so forth. On the back of one of the covers, it says, "Who made the salad? Who made the salad?" And then they go, and then Caesar made the salad, Caesar. And then the next screen, they're all killing Caesar because it was a bad salad. Come on, that's funny.
Or little Caesar pizza.
Right. Little Caesar. That's right. Good pizza. Right. Pizza originally out of Detroit that normally, when they did Little Caesars, was phenomenal. Then they made it a chain, and I don't know what happened. It's not the pizza I grew up with in Detroit. I'll tell you that for sure. The original Caesars was phenomenal, and then they ruined it. Anyway, all right, so tell me what's going on with you. What's happening? What are you going through?
Well, I'm just having a little toothache, so just, yeah, it's kind of a little annoying and bugging me.
Okay. Hey, I got something for you that I did want to tell you. Rosalind did have a dentist that she wanted to recommend if you didn't find one. So I don't know, you know, if you found one, that's great. But she did have one, so if you send me an email, I'll send you what she sent me. Can you do that?
Just send me the info, and then I'll explore
okay,
from there.
You got it. Fair enough. That's what I want. All right, let me
thank
pray.
You,
let me pray over you real fast. Okay, yeah. Let's do it. Father, we come before you right now. It's our brother, and we don't like it when our family members are hurting, brothers, sisters, anybody, in any capacity. So we're asking you, Father, to help Samson with his teeth because they're hurting. And sometimes when your teeth hurt, just like when they're feeling like aching and painful when you drink something cold or have something hot and they just hurt. Lord, we ask you to reduce that pain, to give him some grace, give him mercy, give him freedom from that discomfort. Since you are God of comfort, we ask you to bring your comfort into his body, into his mouth, and help him. In the name of Jesus, help him to recover quickly. Heal him so he doesn't have to keep going through this and having this drain at him. We lift him up as our brother, and we ask you to bless him and encourage him deep within himself. Let him find the encouragement that comes from you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, bro. God bless you.
God bless you, too. Bye-bye.
Right. All right. See? Now, see what's funny about that? Who made the salad? Caesar made the salad. Although, that was a good one. I probably should have thought of that, too. Pizza. You guys just don't know. See, if you've had Little Caesar's Pizza and you're not in Detroit, you have not had Little Caesar's Pizza. I just can't say it any other. There's no other way to say it. Sorry. All right, let's do our DNA. Got to do that. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
I think daily means every day. Let me check. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 365 of them. Wow. Yes, that's what it means. 366 of them on leap year. Is that right? Is there one extra day? Is that correct? A leap year?
I believe so.
Yeah. All right. So, hey, every day, spend some time with the Lord. D, draw closer to the Lord daily. And never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never, 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 never let the world shame you. They have nothing to offer you. They have no heaven to put you in. And A, always be ready.
To
To serve.
To serve, which means that we're drawing closer to the Lord. We're not going to be ashamed of what the Lord has to say. And we are ready to be used by God at any moment for anything. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Here am I, Lord. Use me. In what capacity? I have no idea how he's going to do that. Just present yourself. In fact, the scripture says present yourself. Okay. Every day you wake up, present yourself and honor the Lord by being willing to serve him first and foremost, even before yourself. What? Yes. D, draw closer to the Lord daily. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. A, always be ready to serve. We'll take a short break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
She thought he was a gardener. Sir, she said, if you have taken him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will go and get him. Mary, Jesus said. Now you think three words. Come on, Dave. Mary, Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, Rabboni, which is Hebrew for teacher, or it doesn't matter if your translation says master, rabbi, it doesn't care. She said, Mary. She responded, Master, Lord. You see, the resurrected Jesus Christ speaks the name of his sheep. And Jesus knows your name. My sheep, Jesus said, know my voice, and they hear me. And you were going along in your journey. Maybe you were young and you were in church. Maybe you were young and somebody brought it to you. Maybe you were in the middle part of your life. Maybe in the later part of your life. But at some point, Jesus said your name. He said, David, Tierra, Tiffany, Noel, Joshua, Ashley. At some point, he called your name. The risen Messiah spoke your name to you. You know what? That's when you said, yes, Lord. Yes, Master. Yes, Rabboni. It's the most powerful moment because it's the moment that the divine Messiah speaks to you and pulls you from one kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, into another kingdom, the kingdom of light. It is the moment that changed everything. And Billy Graham had a really good piece on it. Said some people can really define that moment, some people can't. Doesn't matter. It happened for those that, well, it was kind of like a metamorphosis, but it happened. And in the economy of God, it happens more specifically. And maybe the person doesn't know the date. I know my date, but maybe the person doesn't know the date that he said yes to Jesus. But there was a moment where Jesus called your name and you said yes. And that was the beginning of your understanding of his depth of love.
If Jesus.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Wowzer Bowser. I do want to point out for those that don't know, we're hoping to hear from from Deborah. Donna Gale wanted to know how Deborah was doing. Deborah, if you're out there and you're listening, you have to call in. Isn't that nice of me? Just pull somebody on the spot. That's so nice. Here's your next trivia question. A little tougher, but it's okay. I will help you through this. How many people were chosen by Rehoboam to fight against the northern tribes of Israel? So Israel, the southern tribe, the two tribes, were going to fight against the 10 tribes. How many people did he select or choose to fight? Was it 1,800? 18,000 or 180,000. Your answer is in 1 Kings 12:21. 1 Kings 12:21. How many did the one king? All right, we're going to go fight the entire, we're two tribes, and we're going to fight 10 tribes. How many did he choose to do that? Was it 1,800, 18,000, or 180,000? If you think you know, reach out to us. By the way, 1 Kings 12:21 is where that is located. You can call us at 972-445-0770. Remember, you got a 1 in 3 chance, and I'll get you there one way or another. You can also text 214-210-8483, or you can send us an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So we're going to break tradition because we don't know what tradition is. So every time we do something, we're kind of breaking tradition. I don't really know how to say that any differently. Here is what we're going to do. We're actually going to do a Easter message after Easter. I know. It's so funny, isn't it? Okay. Here we go. We're going to do this. This is coming out of Acts chapter 2, verse 22, probably technically one of the best Easter messages you could really ever come up with. I know everybody's going to focus on Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but this is the beginning of the book of Acts, and there's something phenomenal that takes place in Acts chapter 2. I'm going to go right into it. If you can do the trivia, great. If not, I'll answer it later. But here is Acts chapter 2, verse 22 says this. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you through miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. Stop right there. Peter is preaching the message. Remember, Peter, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Wow, great job, Peter. And then after that, Peter goes, Jesus who? Jesus who? Jesus who? Three times. Now he's been restored. And Peter is leading the crew in Acts chapter 2, and he's the lead preacher in Acts chapter 2 after the Holy Spirit falls, and Peter's nailing it to the wall. Best thing he's ever done. As good, or at least on par with Thou Art the Christ, the Son of the Living God. He drops the gospel on them. He's just telling them, look, Jesus is a man accredited by miracles. This man was handed over by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. Great theology in that. God raised him from the dead, freed him from the agony of death. It was impossible for death to keep him. And then he goes to King David, quoting King David. This is what's amazing. In the Psalms, and he says, the Lord said to my Lord, because he's at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad. Let me tell you something about the resurrection. Let me tell you something about Easter. Let me tell you something about what just happened on Sunday that everybody celebrated. The first and foremost thing you must remember, you must keep in mind, is that our hearts should be glad. Did you know that the word good news, the word is also interpreted glad news? Well, it's about time. Let me say this. There's plenty of not good news. There's plenty of not glad news, isn't there? Yes. But the one thing we get from the Lord Jesus Christ that comes out of the resurrection is, you know what? That's enough. The bad news on top of bad news on top of bad news. That's enough. It's bad enough the word news in the Greek means rumor. That's bad enough since we're seeing it live out on the television and on the internet and on the radio before our very eyes and ears and before our very systems. And here's the first message of the gospel as Peter is dropping the hammer. Mic drop is way, way too soft for this. He's just killing it. And he says, bam! First thing I want you to recognize is what King David said, keeping it simple, glad. Therefore, my heart is glad. Isn't there a lot of sorrow around us? Isn't there a lot of trial around us? Isn't there a lot of frustration in different things around us? That's not new. Vanity of vanities, everything is vain. Ecclesiastes chapter 1:1, the New King James in its sub-translation says, frustration, frustration, just as good. Frustration, frustration, everything is frustrating. But here in the gospel, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is something to go, hey, this is good. This is glad. This is good news. These are glad tidings. Good news. Isn't that awesome? There's something to be glad about, something to be joyful about. Oh, I understand there's frustration, but in the face of eternity, there's nothing. You go through 80 or 90 years where it's like in and out and in and out, not quite like the burger because the burger's pretty good. In and out, in and out, in and out. But then after that, there's millions and millions and billions and billions and trillions and gazillions of years of awesome. How are you going to compare that to 80 years? Our light and momentary affliction is not worthy to be compared to that glory which will follow. That's what the Apostle Paul wrote. My heart is glad. My tongue rejoices. What is one thing God really dislikes about that his people do? Woe is me, it's my birthday. Okay. There does come a point where that's enough. Malachi 2:13, you have wearied me with your words. Gotta irritate God, complain. He set this up for us. Our heart needs to be glad. We are rejoiced. The gospel of Jesus Christ is glad tidings, good news, and we ought to rejoice. Praise him. Hallelujah. Eternal life. What? My heart is glad. Why? Good news. Oh. Knock, knock. Hello. Good news. Yes. Come in. Please. I welcome you. Thank you. Get that? All right. Trivia question. I'm going to answer that for people because some people are like, I just don't get it. And I understand that. The question was, the king of the southern tribes came against the king of the northern tribes. Did he use 1,800, 18,000, or 180,000? And the answer is 180,000. It was a war of warriors amongst the nation, and that 180,000 was a large amount for them, but that's how many he used, and that's the answer to the trivia question. We'll take a short break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the True Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad, that's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad.
The deterioration of the ecosystem, or creation itself, is definitely the result of man. You say, well, how can you say that? Well, Romans chapter 8, verse 19 through 21. I just read the scriptures. I don't need anything else. The Bible says this: the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself would be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Creation itself is longing for the redemption that comes through Jesus Christ. And until that takes place, it is on a collision course down. The result of the ecosystem or creation itself crashing is a result of man's sin in the garden. So when they say, oh, well, it's not man-made, oh, yes, it is. Of course it's man-made. It's because we messed up in the garden. But I wasn't with Adam and Eve. You were in the person of Adam and Eve. And if you want me to use it, you were in the life-giving force of Adam and Eve. And if you want me to really say it, you were in the loins of Adam and Eve. You were there, too. They stuck their fist up to God and said, nope. And God went, okie dokie, here's the result.
The David Spoon Experience.
And if you can't shout sight, you'll have to face a penalty. And as with
welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Well, we better learn how to get an extra half hour because we're already an hour deep. We only have a half hour left, and I am far away from completing this. Here is your next trivia question. You guys should probably be close to this one. The answer, by the way, is in Genesis 23:1, so pretty easy to look up. How many years did Sarah live? That's Abraham, Sarah. How many years did Sarah live? Is it 127, 117, or 97? How many years did Sarah live? 127 years? Was it 117 years or 97 years? Your answer, Genesis 23:1. If you think you know the answer, reach out to us. You can call 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, David@hemustincrease.org. Going to send you up to the website as we often do. Watch this. Blah, 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 blah. Check out the website. There's cool stuff on there. Not, you don't have to give to check it out and use it. It's not how it's designed. Just check out the stuff and enjoy it. Check out hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
We're going to need a bigger boat. That's all I could think.
You know, for decades now, they've tried making shark movies to replicate Jaws. It's never been done.
Never been. It's nothing like that. The first one was so funny. It was classic. Yep. I watched it with my best friend then, Adam Shaw. We were both in the theater eating. And when the first big scene came out where the first person's body part came floating up, he went, ah, with his popcorn and his stuff and got his popcorn all over me. I'm not even kidding. It's like, wow. Back in the day.
isn't the third one have like really bad 3D or something?
Oh, no, that's the three. They got the 3D one. And then you just lose count. Now they've got all this other weird, like tornado shark and something else. You know, there's a tornado and then a shark comes blazing through a tornado. You're thinking, they went to the well on that one, didn't they? Okay. Anyhow, your trivia question, how many years did Sarah live? Genesis 23:1, that is your reference point. Was it 127 years? Was it 117 years? Or was it 97 years? That is the question. Again, if you think you know the answer, you can reach out to us, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Okie dokie artichokies. Okay. We're going to do a little bit of history, and then we're going to get fired back into the teaching. So let's do history right now.
Let's go live it in the past. Let's go live it in the past.
All right, so this is a pretty good one. Today is National Chocolate Mousse Day. I like chocolate mousse. I mean, mousse is just that goofy pudding that's not quite pudding, but it's pudding.
I don't think I've ever had that.
You'll like it. It's also Tweed Day, so if you want to impress people with how you dress, you would wear a tweed jacket. Okay. The plaid is the pattern when the tweed is the plain. National Walk to Work Day. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I might get there faster.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You might actually get here faster.
And then the last thing I want to tell you, actually two things. One, 1953 TV Guide issued its first national magazine on this day with a featured cover of Lucille Ball's newborn son, Desi Arnaz Jr. Okay, just let you know, that's way back, 1953. And then finally, 1972, the first ever technical mobile phone call is placed. 1972. That's when the phones were 9 feet by 7 feet. Only people with convertibles could have them back then.
And then now you can do about just about anything with your phone now.
Yeah, that's kind of over now. All right, so the trivia question, how many years did Sarah live? Your answer is in Genesis 23:1. Is it 127? Is it 117? Or was it 97 years that she lived? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 or... you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Let's go to point number two on our five-pointer on the message called Easter 2024, 1 week later. That's what it's called. Easter 2024, 1 week later. So we already talked about the first point being good news. We're making this entire message really comes out of Acts chapter 22, verse 20, or Acts chapter 2, verse 22 through 28, as the psalm is being quoted, Psalm 16 is being quoted, and Peter used this as his first major plunge into the preaching realm, which really was lights out. Of course, 3,000 people got saved under this message, but here's what he says as point number two. Point number one, he says, as he's quoting David in the psalm, he said, I saw the Lord always before me, because he's at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope. Now, what does that mean? Your body will live in hope. It means that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Does he still heal? Of course he heals. Well, he's healing souls of people all over the world on a daily basis. Does he heal bodies? Of course he does. Does he heal everybody you ever pray for? Nope. And you want to know what? I don't think I'm really that different than the disciples, other than they spent that close time, so to speak, so their track record was just a little better. But here's what I want to say about that. In 1 Peter chapter 2 to verse 24, it says, by his stripes, by his wounds, we're healed. That healing has to do primarily with salvation. So don't miss that. That is an important point. It has to do with the healing of our relationship with God. But it also has to do with healing in multiple ways, just like the word salvation means restored, rescued, delivered, healed. It means all of those things, not just one thing. And so the healing process also has a multiplication of approach. And so people are like, well, if everybody's not getting healed, then what's the point? That's pride. Anybody who thinks they need to have everything done perfectly every time they pray, that's just pride. When Jesus prayed, he said, hey, I don't want this to happen. Not my will, though, but your will be done. That's called prayer with submission. That's our example in Jesus Christ. And so Paul himself didn't have a perfect track record, in case you're wondering. Oh, I left Trophimus in Miletum sick. Oh, what? You left somebody sick? I thought you were going to heal him. Didn't you have the gift of healing? Dumb. But you don't stop praying for people for healing any more than you stop witnessing to people. And when the Lord does say yes, it changes lives. And when people say yes to witnessing, it changes lives. And so we keep praying. Why? Because of a passage just like this. My body will live in hope. Look, there's a hope. We're going to talk about the eternal hope in about 10 seconds. But there is a hope for your body. There is hope for healing. There is hope for God being a God of comfort and bringing healing power into your body. There's nothing weird about that. Do I wish God said yes? But hey, it's not based on every prayer, of course, but it's not based on what I wish. It's based on his kingdom. It's based on his principles. And if Paul couldn't do it with every person, I'm not feeling so bad that I don't. That's just goofy. Jesus did it perfect because he was perfect in everything he did. Nobody else was perfect. Elijah was perfect. He ran away in fear. I don't want to hear about it. He was perfect. That's ridiculous. He had to get rebuked by God for it. So stop. What we do is we bring it before the Lord. We offer up our faith. Our body lives in hope. There's a hope inside your body. When people get sick, the medicine that God has granted humanity as a gift is phenomenal, by the way. But when people get sick, they hope they're going to get the healing. Well, guess what? That hope is a part of the gospel package for you to hope. Maybe the Lord will just call you home, and maybe the Lord will just touch you and you'll be changed. Just like we were praying for young Jacob, who had a horrific accident. They didn't even sure he's going to live. We pray for him all the time. Will is praying for his friends. It's his friend's grandson. And it's just like, look, he's doing a lot better than he was doing. That's what happened with Papa. That's what happens with a lot of people. We hope. But then the next thing he says, it's just right behind it, and I think you understand why. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices, and my body will live in hope. You will not abandon me to the grave. This is where the fulfillment of living in hope comes to its highest fruition. What do you mean? Eternity is real. The proof is Jesus Christ. Isn't it? We just talked about this yesterday. I think it was Curtis that called this. Look, there's no bones about it. There's nothing left. No, gone. Matthew 28, don't be afraid because I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he has risen. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go tell the disciples he has risen from the dead. Job 19, 25, 26. But as for me, I know my Redeemer lives, and he will stand on the earth, and he will stand upon the earth at last. And after my body has decayed, yet in my body I will see God. I'm so tired of television and Hollywood saying that Jewish people don't believe in heaven and hell. That's an absolute lie. Hollywood Jewish people don't believe in heaven or hell. Not Jewish people. It's ridiculous. It's just absurd. The Torah is filled with eternal life. It's just so dumb. But here's the key. You are going to live forever. You are never going to be abandoned. Your body is not going to be left just to decay. There's going to come a time where a trumpet's going to blow. It's over. That's it, baby. This is all part of the good news, right? Glad tidings. What? My body has hope, and guess what? I'm not going to eat dirt for the rest of my life and in all eternity because I'm only taking a dirt nap. I'm not living in dirt for eternity. Nice, right? Isn't that nice? You're going to raise from the dead. Well, what if the rapture happens first? Well, cool. But if it doesn't, you're going to resurrect. And if the rapture takes place before you die, you'll be translated. Boom, you're transformed instantly. Cool. Either way, we are not abandoned. Therefore, my heart is glad. Number one, my body will live in hope. Number two, I will not be abandoned to the grave. Number three, the trivia question, by the way, how many years did Sarah live? 127, 117, or 97? The answer is 127. That's the answer. We'll take a short break and then come back for the rest of it. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience.
All right, Psalm 46, verse 1 through 3. This was the first psalm that was read to me when I went to Bible college, the very first class I ever took in Bible college, a bazillion years ago. Let me just say that. Psalm 46, 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their suffering. Here is something to consider that will be just absolutely a mind blower. How should you and I respond if the earth falls out of its rotation? Okay, so my brother-in-law works for JPL and is actually one of the people that helped write the program that helped land the Mars rover on Mars. He helped write the computer programming, okay? He's much smarter than me in those realms, okay? About my age, a little younger, about my age. Very, very intelligent guy, right? And he's the one I always make a joke, you know, what keeps the earth, you know, rotating. And so you'll hear me say that it's on a perfect 23.5 degree, rotation from the moon and from the exact rotation from the sun, or it's three mice chasing a piece of cheese and a wheel. One of those two. So the idea behind that and that whole story is the earth is in this absolutely perfect rotation with the moon and the sun, and without it, the earth would go through a free fall. Just even a half a degree off, it's over. It's all over. I mean, there would be instant tidal waves. Everything would just be upside down. And if that ever happened, you know, you would know that's the end, although that's not how the end's going to happen. We already know from Scripture. But here's what the psalmist is saying. It doesn't matter how bad it gets. It doesn't matter if your world seems like it's upside down. It doesn't matter if it's out of rotation. It doesn't matter if the mountains fall into the sea. It doesn't matter if the waters roar. God is a refuge. And a refuge is a shelter in a storm. You would first think of a lean-to. That is what a shelter in a storm is. So when it's raining, you find a lean-to. You put something on a tree. You put it against something else, and you get under it so you're away from that. And it says that God is a refuge, a strength, an ever-present help, which means he's helpful today, not just when it's all settled in eternity. And there's that lies a problem for some Christians is they keep thinking, well, in the sweet by and by, everything will get worked out. Well, that is true, that everything will be completely worked out in the sweet by and by. But God is an ever-present help, which means for today and not just for tomorrow. And then the position of the psalmist is, therefore, in other words, it's a conclusion. So God is our refuge and strength, okay? So he's our lean-to in a storm. He's our ever-present help. Therefore, I don't have to be afraid.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Quick reminder, next week, giving away some Pastor Robert Morris books. His latest book, Grace, period. Can't beat that. That guy's got such good titles. I love his titles that he does. He's just a really enjoyable guy. We're giving his book away. Here's your next or last trivia question. We're going to be rolling through this, which is my kind way of saying be swift about it. What medicine was used by Hezekiah? This is in 2 Kings 20, verse 7. Was it honey with lemon, aloe tea, or a fig paste? What medicine was used by Hezekiah? There is no book of Hezekiah. Don't look it up. There was a king of Hezekiah, the king Hezekiah, not a book. What medicine was used by, but it's funny, when I was pastoring a church and I said, turn to the book of Hezekiah, and people are turning. that's just too funny. What medicine was used by Hezekiah? Honey with lemon, aloe tea, or a fig paste? 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 7 is your reference point. If you think you know the answer, you can reach out to us. Please be swift, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483, or You can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. I am going to do three or four really quick jokes because I just haven't had a chance to do jokes for quite some time. Ready? All right, here we go. These are pretty good. Ready? This is two sentences, but I think you can hang out with me on this one. Ian, my neighbors were screaming and yelling at 3:00 in the morning. Mark, well, did they wake you up? Ian, no, I was already up playing my bagpipes. Yay! Pretty good. Here you go. Why do refrigerators hum? Why do refrigerators... See, this is a... You've got to be thinking on these ones. Why do refrigerators hum? And here's the answer. The reason that refrigerators hum is because they don't know the lyrics. That's why they hum.
You serious, Clark?
Okay, not really. What do Tarzan and Jane sing at Christmas time? Jungle Bells. All right, here's the last one. Why couldn't the bell keep a secret? Why couldn't the bell keep a secret? Because it always told. See? Told. Who the bell told?
What do you want from me? I'm not a comedy writer.
That's what I say. All right, we do have somebody ready to answer trivia questions. Let's send them on through because we are on a tight time frame here. So here we go. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is Don.
Hi, Don. How are you?
Well, I'm doing good.
I'm glad you're doing good.
You know, I was trying to, you know, I always try to answer your questions the first answer that comes to my mind.
Okay.
And so I hope I'm right. I did not look it up, and I try not to look any of them up.
That's good. That's good, though. That's good. You want me to set it up for you, and then you can choose?
Yes.
Okay. What medicine was used by Hezekiah? Was it honey with lemon, aloe tea, or fig paste?
It was a fig.
That is correct, Amanda! Redemption. There you go, brother.
I do the one-year Bible. This is my 18th year. And everybody thinks I'm crazy, but you know what? I just love it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's been phenomenal, isn't it?
That's the reason why I knew that.
Yeah, see, there you go. And that just reinforces it in your own heart and mind that you're knowing,
yes,
growing in, and learning
brother.
The word. Excellent job, my brother.
Okay.
Thank you, my brother.
Thank you. God bless you all.
You too. Take care, bro.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Excellent job. All right. Let me go into this finish. We got about 4 minutes. I want to give these last 2 points, classic five-point message kind of thing. Here we go. First thing we talked about is the gospel, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection. The gospel brings us 5 major things. First thing, gladness in our heart. Second, body lives in hope. Third, we are not abandoned to the grave. The fourth thing Peter says, as he's quoting David's psalm in Psalm 16, he says, as he's quoting the psalm, he says, you've made me to know the paths of life. And this is huge. Pathways of life is direction for life. The first path in our life is we get to understand through the gospel that there is a living relationship with a living God. We also get to understand that there's guidance in life. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. We also get to find out in that path of life that God grants wisdom to us so we can know how to walk while we're walking the path. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask of God, who gives generously to all and without finding fault, and it will be given to him. So there are 3 elements to the path of life: the relationship we have with God, him guiding us and directing us, him granting us wisdom on top of that, letting go. So there's this big part about the path of life where you got to do this. I let go. It's so hard. I let go. This is so hard. It's like you always feel like you're holding an egg, and if you let go, it'll fall on the ground and break. What you don't understand is if you let go, God will turn it into an omelet and pick it back up before it ever hits the ground. That's what people don't get. He makes us to know the paths of life. That's the fourth element that comes out of the resurrection, out of Peter's sermon. And the fifth one is just by all means, just the superb greatest of all. He says in verse 28, as he's quoting Psalm 16, "You have made me to know the pathways of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence." Where is the greatest amount of joy found? Well, let's talk about this. Nehemiah 8:10, Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Wow, the joy of the Lord is our strength. It's our strength, right? The Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. Joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, and joy is our strength. And where's the greatest amount of joy found? In the presence of the Lord. And because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you can come into the presence of the Lord 24/7, 365. Hebrews 10:19 through 22. He has made a new and living way for us to enter past the curtain into the very presence of God. That's where the joy is. In your presence is the fullness of joy. The joy of his presence comes to us. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection opened the pathway for us to come in anytime we want. That's why when people go, "Well, I don't have time," it's like you're losing your life. Because you're not making time for the priority, God. And believe me, when you die, he will instantly become your priority. So he should be a priority now before you get there. In his presence is the fullness of joy. Five things that come out of Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2, verse 26 through 28, all him quoting King David. "Therefore my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices, and my body will also live in hope, because you have not abandoned me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made me known the pathways of life and have filled me with joy in your presence." That is Easter 2024, 1 week later. That's a first. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. 22 and a half hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then. Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame. It may be false, but it feels the same. So I punish myself, I go down to the jail. The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.